We must be ready to allow ourselves to be interrupted by God. God will be constantly crossing our paths and canceling our plans by sending us people with claims and petitions. We may pass them by, preoccupied with our more important tasks, as the priest passed by the man who had fallen among thieves, perhaps, reading the Bible. When we do that, we pass by the visible sign of the cross raised athwart our path to show us that not our way, but God's way must be done. Let us sing together hymn number 274, Christ is the World's True Light. Let us pray together. Eternal God, our Lord, we have seen thy work in the dawning of a new day, in the redemption of lives from emptiness and ruin, and in the conquest of evil and of pain. We have felt thy hand in the warm embrace of family, in the fellowship of thy children, and in guidance for our lives far beyond our powers to comprehend. We have heard thy voice in the inward promptings of thy spirit, in the strains of noble music, and in the cries of thy children for bread, for peace, and for justice. For these and the manifold other signs of thy presence with us, we give thee thanks. And we praise thy name for thy boundless goodness to us throughout all our days. Give us, we pray, a renewed awareness of thy purpose, not only for ourselves, but for thy creation entire. Make us sensitive to the sorrows of others. Teach us to hate nothing but wrong, and to love thee above all else. Give us the grace to bear truth that is new to us, to love those who do not share our vision of thee, and to carry one another's burdens without boasting. Speak to us now through the words of thy servant. We ask all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It is a joy to welcome to this chapel service and to present to you my pastor. The Reverend W.W. Finlater is a native of this state, a graduate of Wake Forest College and of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. Since his graduation from seminary, he has served here in North Carolina as pastor at Weldon, at Pittsburgh, at Elizabeth City, and now for more than 24 years in his present pastorate at Pullen Memorial Baptist Church in Raleigh. His ministry, however, has extended far beyond the boundaries of these congregations. I shall not take the time to enumerate the gifts of ministry that he has exercised, but shall simply commend him to you as a fellow servant of Jesus Christ. He has asked me to read the scripture passages for the morning. After the reading and the anthem, we shall hear him with eagerness and joy. We read first from the book of Amos, chapter 5, verses 21 through 24. I hate, I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though ye offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them, neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy vials. But let judgment run down as waters, and righteousness as a mighty stream. From Micah, the 6th chapter, verses 6 through 8. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God? Then from the Gospel according to Matthew in the 23rd chapter, verses 23 and 24. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. May God instruct us in the hearing and the obeying of his word.
Lord, love our peace. Thank you, Dr. Staley, and members of this student body, friends, for the privilege of worshiping with you today. I want to talk about Matthew 23:23, where Jesus says that you pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin, but you leave undone the weightier matters of the law. And then he adds, these things you should have done, but not to have left the other undone, justice and mercy and faith. Now, I must confess to you that that second part of the scripture may be a gloss. That originally Jesus may have simply said, ye pay the tithes on anise and cumin and mint, and these you should have done and not to have left the others undone. It may have been he just have said, you've just paid these tithes of anise and cumin and mint, but you leave undone the weightier matters of the law. But our friend Matthew comes along and adds, where he got it, we don't know. He adds, these you should have done, but not to have left the others undone, justice, mercy, and peace. But I'm going to bypass that little biblical problem here by saying that it's been in all the Bibles, on down and up through the centuries, including good news for modern man. And someone said one time that he was told that the phrase, God helps those who help themselves, is not in the Bible. But it was from the vintage of Poor Richard's Almanac. Whereupon the friend in outrage said, well, if it's not in the Bible, it ought to be there. And if this is not what was originally said, it ought to have been there for another reason, and that is I want to be on the good side of everybody here today, and I want to say that the Bible I'm dealing with is without admixture and perfect just like it is. Besides, one more thing, I need for that second phrase to be in there for homiletical purposes. Because if it's not there, I can't proceed. Now, Jesus said, you do these things, and you should do them. But they are the lighter matters of the law, but you should do them. Now, he indicated this, as you remember, in his own ministry. John the baptizer did not want to baptize him. He demurred, but Jesus said, it's proper for us to fulfill all the scripture. Let's do it. Now, if you baptize people because they confess their sins and you say Jesus is sinless and Jesus insists upon being baptized, you got a problem. Nonetheless, he did it. He, on an occasion, found a way to pay taxes. And he said, we must do this. It's the right thing to do. He said, the Bible says he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath, quote, as was his custom, end quote. He said, whatever the scribes, the Pharisees tell you to do, do it. But don't do as they do. When he healed the 10 lepers, he says, go back and show yourself as the priest right now. Because the priest had the right to certify that you were really cleansed. And that was, this is proper. Jesus fulfilled all the amenities. And he didn't exactly call them amenities. He considered them very important. And tithing would fall under that situation. You do it. It's important. It's the lighter matter of the law. But you should do it and not leave the other undone. Now, you know, it's easy for us to draw up a catalog of those lighter matters of the law, and I think most of us are caught up in them. We want people to be active church members, because when we Baptists say active, we mean active in the church. An active Christian is an active Christian in the church. Well, that's, church got to be run. You got to pay money regularly. Somebody got to serve on the boards and committees. Somebody got to keep coming there. The preacher won't have anyone to preach to. All these things are very important. We ought to go to church as Jesus went to church, because it's our custom to go to church. But then we have come along in our day and added lots of things that are terribly important. Some of you are going into pastoral counseling. Churches today are trying to reach the needs of people in all the crises of life, middle age, old age, singles, people who live with different lifestyles, is the word or phrase they use. However, people are today counseling, pre-marriage and so forth. People want the church to speak to their needs, and the church is doing it. And any church that doesn't do this is not offering a full ministry. But any church that does this to the exclusion of the rest is a cop-out church. And cop-out is what all of us attempted to do. Now, it's the priority that Jesus is talking about. These things you should do. But you should not leave undone the weightier matters of the law. And he named them justice, mercy, and faith. And you look at the newer translations, that word faith is rendered good faith. It doesn't mean keep the faith, baby, or faith of our fathers. It means good faith, like J.P. Stevens should bargain in good faith. That you should deal with people in good faith. Now, the Jesus priority was very similar to the ones that Dr. Steele just read. Amos, all those things you could do. The music, the feast days, solemn assembly, the appeal to the olfactory sense, smelling good aroma, all these things. But he says, if they are done to the exclusion of letting justice roll down or righteousness, then, as Dr. Steele says in the prayer to hate nothing except evil, here is Jesus, here is God saying, I hate your solemn feast. Justice comes first. And the same thing is true of Micah. You know, we reverse that thing. What did the Lord require of us? Well, to first of all, come live with God. Be humble Baptist preachers serving our people. Second, to show mercy, you know. Be merciful. An easy hit for anybody who comes along wanting money. And at the end, we put justice. But that is turning the pyramid upside down. In all three of these cases, the word justice comes first. And justice is what we want to be last. We want it last. I saw it yesterday at the Baptist convention. There was a long resolution on abortion. And the resolution incorporated another resolution from the Southern Baptist Convention on abortion. And always when people talk about abortion, they use tax funds. That's the catch. You had to watch this cryptic code language. Using tax funds to let people have sinful abortions. That, you know, eliminates you from dealing with middle class people, your own congregation, who are going to get abortions in a very nice way by paying the right kind of doctors, the right kind of money. You're not fighting them. You're fighting tax funds to go to poor people who won't get abortions otherwise, or will get very dangerous abortions. And now they're trying to say they must take the money off the books in North Carolina and not use tax funds. Remember, tax funds means poor whites and blacks. Don't forget that. That's what tax funds mean. Now, all of us know that abortion is a terribly emotional and disturbing issue, and we do not know the answer. We do also know that Christians differ. And our Baptist Convention came with an ounce of being a moral majority kind of outlook when it almost equated abortion or a position on abortion with the Christian gospel. Like we used to say about alcohol, however you stood with alcohol was a test of faith. We almost made it a test of faith yesterday. And I said to our friends, I said, if we pass this resolution calling upon the government to cease and desist in North Carolina, let us remember that we are dealing with the poor, the black, the minority. And let us also remember that we're coming out at a time when the country is moving to a more repressive stance against poor people, taking away even what they have. And let us remember that we are saying that the poorest of the poor are going to be forced to have unwanted children. Therefore, I said, and let us put this amendment to this resolution, which is that we will call upon the same government to guarantee dietary sufficiency before and after birth and to secure to these children the blessings of adequate housing, decent income, health care facilities, and a quality education. I expected that maybe not to pass. I hoped it would. I was shocked that it was overwhelmingly defeated. It's so easy to moralize at the expense of poor and vulnerable people. But when it comes to dealing with them with justice, we say no. Whenever you hear the word spoken by the people who have won the recent election, that they're thinking about the concern for the family and the protection of the family in this country, you ask them, do you mean that these families will get minimum wages? That they'll have some kind of guaranteed income? That they'll have a decent housing situation in which to bring up their children? That they'll have medical protection and other securities? And the answer is almost hell no. Now, I'm saying simply that we are reversing what Jesus said, that he is interested, Amos is interested in justice first, then mercy, and then compassion, and good faith. And that's not where we are. And that's not where the church has ever been. And justice is a word that we've never wanted in our Baptist life and our Southern life. We've never treated the Indian with justice. We treated them with genocide. We never treated the blacks with justice. Everybody who's come to this country has gotten ahead of the black people. The black people were the only unwilling immigrants to this nation. We went to the war in the South, if you read the story of the Southern Baptists in the Biblical Recorder, praising God that we could fight a war to preserve so just a system as we had in the South. The blacks came up, and we came up like Moses to the Jordan River back in the early 1900s and late 1900s and early 20th century. We almost moved forward, but we moved back again in retrenchment and suppression. We've come today almost to move forward across that Jordan River. But you see, we are retrenching. We're moving back. Back, back. We don't like quotas. We don't like busing. We don't like a better distribution of income. It may be that we'll never understand what Jesus talks about until we begin to see that there's something wrong with the whole system. And here, friends, is where you really get in trouble. And I advise you to know it before you do it. We may not be too far from moral majority in some ways. Moral majority and our fundamentalist friends are sure, so sure of the rightness of their cause that they take certain issues and say, these issues are Christian. Our position on ERA is Christian. Our position on prayer in public schools is Christian. Our position on abortion is Christian. Our position on the gays, the lesbians, is Christian. Our position on more money to the Pentagon is Christian. And we know that we are right, and therefore we're going to make this a Christian nation. It may be that we have sometimes said ourselves, not just opposition on alcohol, abortion, we've also said that maybe our economic system, known as capitalism, built on profit. Think about it sometimes, folks, profit motive. People are hungry, and you sell food for money. And the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And you garner the food, and you control the flow of the food, and you do it only on the basis of the almighty dollar. Think about that sometime when people tell you that capitalism and Christianity are the same thing. It may be that you and I, who wear nice clothes, Hart, Schaeffer, and Mark, are the beneficiaries of an economic system which, while blessing us, has impoverished others. And that the good things you enjoy is built upon the breaking backs, not only of fellow Americans, but of the people of the third world, whose resources, whose energies, whose lives contribute in poverty to your enrichment. And it's so easy to say, I'm like the man in the first psalm. I'm a good man. Whatsoever I do, it will prosper. God's favor is upon me. This system is a great system. I'm telling you that there is systemic and structural injustice in the world. And you and your church and your institutions are beneficiaries of it. But it's built upon the impoverishment and the deprivation of others. I know wherever I speak. And you should know this, and I think you do. But to preach it is a dangerous thing. To avoid it, however, is a far worse heresy than to saying the Bible may not be all that perfect. What doth the Lord require of you but to do justice? Let justice roll down. You have left undone the weightier matters of the law. Justice. These things you should do, but not to leave undone these things. We shall pray. But our Father, we feel in the presence of each other, in thy presence, give us grace to do and be in the marketplaces of life, that we might not be hearers only, but doers of thy truth through Jesus Christ our Lord.